1954. Chapter 1. New York City. He looks both ways. His heart is racing. He clutches his briefcase as he crosses the street. He does not attempt to hide the fact that he is in a hurry. His gray trench coat blows in the February breeze. The snow is peppering the street before him. Cars jerk to quick stops with the sound of rapid horn blowing, causing him to step back and dart forward. He finally makes the curb unharmed. He is fine, and he is close. He ignores the curse words being thrown into his direction. Slightly out of breath and well out of shape, he presses on. He then pauses. He looks up to the enormous building in front of him. The sign on top reads, L&N Enterprises. He grins. Then, finally. He mutters to where only the bum at his feet could hear. Again he darts forward. This time he aims in the direction of the doors. He stands aside as several popular actresses leave the building. He cannot help but to glance toward at least one of them. Then he turns to force his way through the turnstile. He makes his way across the enormous room, decorated in red and blue, with slight splashes of gold and mahogany. He stops near the large round desk that sits in the center of the foyer. "I need to see them. It's urgent," he says, trying hard to catch his breath. The young blonde woman of 29 looks to the man. She has an air of a woman much older and wiser. Her dark eyeliner gives her blue eyes a haunting stare. Her ruby-red lipstick applied to perfection gives her mouth a serious, no-nonsense tone. Her blonde hair is styled to meet the fashions of the day. She sighs as if the mere presence of this little man annoys her. "They are in a meeting," she drones. She has worked here for nearly 5 years. She began as a file clerk, then a secretary, and now she runs the front offices of the building. A nice leap for a woman who began life milking cows in Ireland. "Yeah, well, call them and tell them I am here and I have what they are looking for. And if they do not hurry, I will be killed and they will never receive any of it." She pauses for a minute, her annoyed expression never changes. The thoughts of him being killed do not prompt her to rush in the slightest. She picks up the receiver to her phone. She then presses a button. "Yes, Dr. Clive is here. He says he has it. Oh, and he may be killed. Very well, I will send him up." "Go on up," she drones. He turns and looks toward the elevators. The young woman changes her gaze to the front entrance. At that moment, two men in dark suits step through the doors. "You had better hurry, doctor. Your friends have arrived," she says in a monotone way, and then she pulls a revolver from underneath her desk, as if she were aiming at metal ducks in a carnival game. She fires a round toward the taller of the two men. The bullet makes its mark. The man's head rocks to the side. His body spins, and he falls. The smaller of the two turns and brandishes his own weapon. However, the young woman is much quicker and pumps out a round into his head as well, sending him to the floor. By now, people are screaming and scrambling for exits, ducking behind furniture or whatever they can find to make them feel safe. She calmly lays her weapon on top of the desk. She then places a hand on the receiver, and once again she lifts it to her ear. She then presses a green button on the phone for a second time. "Yes, two of them. I am sure they were. He is on his way up. This has already drawn a ten—all right, sirs. Yes, sirs, I will."